Hey, this is David Lynch, and you're listening to Post Rock Paper Scissors. All right, welcome to Post-Rock, Paper, Scissors. This is Armand here. This is episode 65. It's one of our curated podcasts. Today on the show, we've got a playlist done by Dave Masters, one of the members of Signal Hill. How's it going, Dave?
Armand, it's going well, sir. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So Dave, like I mentioned, is a member of Signal Hill. Signal Hill was a band from Los Angeles, still is a band, but is kind of all over the world now. Is that right?
Yes. Well, we're bi-coastal now. So Rishi and I both live here in Brooklyn, New York, and Tim and Brian, the West Coast, rhythm, they're out there in LA still. And it's actually kind of awesome because I live closer to Rishi now in New York than when we lived in LA, and I actually see him more frequently now. It's awesome.
All right. That's cool. That's cool. So Rishi moved. I heard he was in Scotland for a while, so that's why I said around the world, but I guess he's back.
Yeah, he went to grad school in Scotland in University of Edinburgh and then moved back to San Diego for a couple months looking for jobs and ended up getting one out here in New York, and it was just, I had been here for about a month, and he came out, interviewed, stayed at my place while he was interviewing and got the job, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, Signal Hill is a band that was originally, I guess, from Los Angeles. And back when we were on the radio at UCLA, they were actually the first band ever to appear on the show. So, I guess that's a little tidbit. And I'm always thankful to that because that kind of got the show rolling.
Dude, that's so you know what? Dave. You know what's cool? No, thank you. It's interesting because I didn't know that we were the first actual band to be on the show. I knew that you had scheduled some other stuff. Like I think you did like a phone call with Caspian or something, or you did some stuff with some other bands too. But I didn't know that we were the first one. That's Armand. It's like an anniversary for us right now, Armand. I'm feeling really good about this.
Yeah, you guys were actually the first band ever. I remember I sent you guys a message on MySpace or something, and then like a couple hours later or something, Steve from Beware of Safety sent me a message on MySpace saying, "Hey, we're also from LA. Can we get on your show?" So that's how I got to know all of you guys from Signal Hill and Beware of Safety and all that. Just got the show rolling and eventually got other bands on. So you guys were my stepping stone. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. Thanks, Armand.
No problem. So what's the state of Signal Hill right now?
So right now, we've been writing a lot of songs. Rishi and I have been getting together. We try to get together a couple times a week, and we've been writing lots of guitar parts, and we send those back over to Tim and Brian, and Tim and Brian plug them into the sampler, and they write bass and drum parts to it. It's very similar to how we wrote a lot of our most recent EP, the Distance EP, which sort of came about when Rishi was living in Scotland and the rest of us were in LA, and we were still trying to make music. But the idea and the theme behind the CD was sort of that we were all apart but we still wanted to figure out a way to make it work, and we proved to ourselves that we could do it. And so now that both of us are out here, it's actually even a little bit easier because, having two guitarists together, kind of putting together the structures of the songs and whatnot, it's actually been, I would say, a little bit easier to construct the songs. It's a little bit harder to sort of get things, when you're in a band and you can kind of get into a routine where there's four guys and constantly meeting at the same place. It's a little bit easier, as opposed to, all right, well, these guys sent us the files. Now I got to download the files, put them on a sampler. Then we're going to maybe practice on Thursday type of thing. And so it's been a little bit, it's been a little bit on and off, but it's actually been going really well. I mean, I'm really excited about some of the songs that we've been putting together. It's getting pieced together pretty well. It's pretty exciting. So, we're going to continue doing it until it's not fun anymore. And I don't think any of us see that in the near future. So.
All right. Sounds awesome. I'm glad you guys are still writing. A lot of bands would probably have given up by now. But you guys keep rocking on. That's awesome. So anyway, Dave came up with a playlist for today's show. What did you have in mind for today, Dave?
Yeah, so it was interesting. You kind of helped me narrow the playlist down, to be honest, Armand. Like, when you sent us the note and we were talking, we were like, yeah, we're totally excited to do it. And you said, Dave, listen, you guys need to kind of stick within this sort of, like, genre. That made life really easy for me. I mean, I could have been scattered all over the place, so it was it was really helpful that you kind of provided some focus for me. But I guess when I started, I looked at, I guess a fitting place to start was the Tristezza track, Foreshadow, off of what I would consider to be the first 7-inch of instrumental music that I ever really bought, and really ever listened to back in, I guess it was probably like the fall of 98. So I felt like that was a pretty fitting place to start. And not to mention that, you know, all of the guys in the band were all very fond of the band, but I was like, all right, well, let's start with the first instrumental song I've ever heard. Right. And that I ever really fell in love with. And so that's kind of where I started. And then gradually I dug a little deeper for some of these tracks, just kind of taking me back to what sort of really inspired me to play instrumental music. I think, you know, you'll kind of hear in the first few songs. And then after that, like, I tried to merge, what a lot of people may or may not know about me is I used to be really into hip hop and rap music back in, back in the mid, early to mid 90s. And I was really, really into that. And, you know, some of these other artists where they kind of merged what I would consider like melodic, electronic music and sort of instrumental rock together is sort of what the second portion of the playlist will consist of. Definitely not veering too far away from like the instrumental groups that I think that I listen to and some of the folks that I think would be found on some of these other podcasts that you know that we have on Post Rock Paper Scissors. So,
all right. So I guess I should say that, speaking of the 90s hip hop, we should probably take a moment of silence for Nate Dogg. So anyway, we started off the show with Tristezza. What's going to be the first track in the next block?
The first song on the next block is by a band called The Six Part Seven. The song is called In a Late Style of Fire. And Six Part Seven is kind of an interesting band for me, and even Tristezza. So back when I first heard Tristezza, I was really into a lot. I'd kind of passed the hip-hop phase, and I was listening to more of the mid-90s, late-90s sort of indie and emo scene. Like, I was listening to a lot of bands like Mineral and Christy Front Drive and stuff like that. And actually, it's kind of funny because even Tristezza, I remember being at a Jimmy World show at a bowling alley in Tempe, Arizona, and Jim Adkins, the singer of Jimmy World, was like, you know, directly after the show, you guys should definitely go to this little space where Tristezza is playing. And I thought it was so cool because I had just bought the Tristezza record. And I was like, oh, man, that band is amazing. I am going to go see them after this Jimmy World show. But the Six Part Seven, was also an interesting one for me because the band that I was playing with when I lived in Arizona, we actually played with them quite a bit, and it was the first. There's this little art space, which I would consider to be very similar to Pear Space, Armand, which you've been to obviously in LA. But it's a very do-it-yourself like art collective and band friendly. Just, you know, everything that I love about DIY, the scene, and just artists supporting each other and people aren't out for making money. It's about really about the music and the overall like enjoyment of bringing people together. This place called Modified in Phoenix sort of, really kind of embodied that culture into me and taught me all of the, taught me a lot about that whole scene. And the Six Part Seven was the first band that my band ever played with there. It was on their very first tour of the U.S. And interesting side note, they actually had their very first CD, which is on Donut Friend Records, called, I don't have the album name in front of me, but they had their very first CD ever shipped to Modified because they had left for tour and the CD was a little bit delayed, and they had them shipped to Modified, and the sweetest guys. And we played with them every time they came through town. And we had a different lineup each time we played with them, and they had a different lineup every time they played. And so I felt like that would be a nice segue, because I'd always tell them, do you guys know the band Tristezza? You guys sound similar to them. You know, 10 years later, 12 years later, however long it's been now, I guess it's even 12 years later, I would say that they don't sound anything alike. But back then, I was like, oh, there's two instrumental bands. They sound exactly the same. And I felt that was like sort of an appropriate second track. And the reason I think I picked this one was it was actually the first time I ever saw any band use an Ebow. And it was actually on their second time playing town, which I believe this is a track from their second record, Silence Magnifies Sound, which is fantastic. But I remember watching it for the first time going, wow, what is that thing? It's like buzzing the string and it's really kind of awesome. So that's the second track, Armand.
All right. That's great. I don't have to add anything. So that was perfect. So here we go. Here's 6 part 7 with In a Late Style of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Zarmond here with our guest, Dave, from Signal Hill. Dave came up with the playlist for today's show. What did we play in that last block, Dave?
So right before we left, we were talking about the 6-part 7. So that was the first track. In a Late Style of Fire was the song there. The second track was an interesting one for me because, you know, again, as I was sort of listening to a lot of those mid to late 90 indie bands, I mean, you know, you had bands like Braid and there was a lot of stuff coming out of Chicago, which turns out there was a lot of other stuff happening in Chicago when you look at Tortoise and other things that I didn't really know about at the time. But you had Pele in there, which the third song from the playlist, a song called Nighttime Stomach off of their Elephant CD. At that point, it was really kind of interesting for me because here I was starting to dive a little bit into to instrumental music, and Pele was sort of was the quintessential band to me that was basically a mid-90s indie rock band with, you know, with crazy drumming and weird time signatures and all sorts of insanity going on, and without the whiny vocals. So it was basically like, you know, one of those bands without the singing, and you know, but it was a little bit more interesting. They got a little bit creative with instrumentation, with, you know, with banjos and all sorts of crazy stuff, and or stuff that I thought was crazy at the time. I mean, you know, here I was, it was like, you know, very traditional, like, let me think, like a mid-90s indie emo fan, and it's going to be two guitars playing whiny guitar chords and you know, a guy singing whiny vocals, and but loving every second of it. And that was definitely me at the time. And so as I started to, you know, transition away from listening to a lot of that and listening, moving more into an instrumental rock and really starting to appreciate that, Pele wrote what I felt were very accessible tunes for people who were, you know, exactly in my boat. They were not these long epic songs. They were pretty, you know, straightforward, and had traditional, I would consider, like, song structures, and were doing something interesting enough that you didn't need a vocalist, in my opinion, to kind of keep it interesting. So that was that track. I think that's I highly recommend that album as far as any Pele records go. Elephant to me is the best. It was the first one that I ever heard from them, and it's just a really great record. The next song, and sorry, Armand, I might ramble a little bit about this. The next song, You Yourself Are Too Serious, by the Mercury Program off A Day to Learn the Language, I think is probably the finest instrumental rock song ever written. It's basically everything that I love about music in five and a half minutes. I mean, the melodies are beautiful. It's the rhythm section is so on point, like every Mercury Program track is. It's literally, it's hands down, without a question, my favorite instrumental rock song ever. So that obviously had to be included. Actually, I have to step back for 1 second to Armand, because one of the other things that I tried to do as I was thinking about this playlist, and you know, of course, the 6-part 7 naturally fit for me, but you'll notice later in the playlist there's actually another song by M83. We're actually... Signal Hill, the band, kind of came together. Rishi and Brian and I had got together once, but it wasn't until I ran back into Tim at the 6-part 7 and M83 show that actually got us talking again. And so I think I owe just the fact that everyone in the band sort of likes those artists, but the fact that there was a show where the 6-part 7 and M83 played together, that I actually got to reconnect with Tim, and ultimately we talked about him coming and having practice with Signal Hill. So that was another side story that I felt worth noting here, and just kind of important as we kind of think about the playlist. And then the last song from the set is by an Arizona guitar player, a guy named Rajiv Patel, who is, you know, not only one of the sweetest, nicest guys you'll ever meet, but he's also one of the best guitar players I've ever seen in my entire life. He's, you know, watching him play is beyond a spectacle. I mean, it's really sort of it's interesting. I mean, you can watch a lot of people who do sort of finger pick style guitar playing and have sort of the technical ability to just, you know, blow people away on the guitar, which Rajiv definitely has, in my opinion. I mean, he's just an absolute master at it. But I think one of the characteristics about him is when you watch him play live, not only is it mesmerizing to just see the sort of the technical ability of him, but the fact that he does stuff that's so interesting when he's playing. Like it's sort of borderline between street performer and sort of guitar expert. It's really quite magical. And that particular song, I was kind of tossing it up between, you know, whether I do that one or something a little newer, and being from Arizona, where Rajiv is also from, and you know, the first time I met this guy, I knew that he played bass. He played bass with a good friend of ours and in a band, and he was an amazing bass player. And I didn't even know he played guitar. So imagine, like, the first time you see this guy who's not only, like, you know, the best guitar player you've ever seen, but you didn't even know he played guitar. And so it was interesting. But when I narrowed down to this track, this track is just always it's a lot about what I love about instrumental music. I mean, it's a short song. It's very accessible for his tunes. I mean, he does a lot of different styles, which I also think makes it pretty interesting. But this particular tune just really resonates with me, and I and it was ultimately the one I had to go with. I even messaged him, and I was like, Rajiv, is it okay if I play that song? And he wanted me to play the other one, but I didn't care. I was like, I really like this one more. So that's that. But he's a great artist, and you know, if you ever get a chance to see him, it's definitely something not to be missed, I think.
All right. So what's the first track coming up in the next block?
So the first track, or the next track, is "You Are in the Stars" by Shayla off of the album Tangled Wool. You know, as I was saying earlier, so one of the things that I listened to a lot when I was younger, you know, I listened to a lot of, like, hip hop music, and I think any time that you listen to a lot of the same genre, like, over and over again, and that's sort of all you listen to, it's really easy to burn out. I mean, and frankly, Armand, I don't listen to a lot of post rock music, or what would be considered post rock music, you know, anymore, myself. I still, you know, I will always buy the new Tristezza record. I will always buy the new Mercury Program record. But outside of that, like, you know, to be honest, I don't get it. It's hard for me to get really excited about a lot of that stuff now. And I think part of that is because I kind of burned myself out of listening to a lot of it. So I think I need a little bit of time to kind of pull away from it. I guarantee you understand. I mean, working at the Silent Ballet and reviewing records and sort of being involved in this, I'm sure it's probably the same for you. And it's been kind of interesting even seeing the Silent Ballet move away from doing, you know, a lot of, like, you know, sort of post-rock stuff and kind of moving into, like, the neoclassical and a lot of, like, you know, film scores and sort of keeping it a little bit more that way. But when I was listening to a lot of hip-hop music, you know, it just got really tired to me. DJ Shadow came and sort of ruined every other hip-hop record for me. And when the introducing album came out, I remember going, oh my god, like, this album is actually speaking to me without saying anything. And I think that's also what kind of helped merge the gap for me from, you know, being able to listen to bands like Mineral to all of a sudden listening to instrumental music. It was, you know, period of hip-hop. And then all of a sudden, like, this instrumental, like, sort of, you know, what I still feel is one of my favorite records ever, in introducing, where it was just pieced together so well, and you know, it was layered with melodies, etc. And then I kind of went a different path, started listening more to, like, the indie rock stuff, and then you know, you listen to a lot of that, and you listen to a lot of bands try to do what Mineral and Christy Frontdrive were doing, and it's, you know, you get real tired of it real quick. So then after that came the instrumental stuff. Then I found, like, I found M83 and Shayla and a few others that kind of started to bring that sort of the same analogy to me, where it was, you know, listening to, you know, music that was lush and filled with layers and really beautiful, without saying anything, right? So this next block kind of takes us into a little bit more of that realm, and I felt the Shayla song sort of helps embody that. I mean, there's organic instruments and really lots of beautiful melodies, but then there's a hint of sadness and a hint of hope and a little bit of everything, I think, in this next block. And but to me, it was sort of it kind of came about after, you know, just sort of my history and then what kind of drew me to some of these artists and even some of the other artists, which I wasn't able to include because I wanted to keep this, you know, the podcast short so I could blabber on about, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that is, you know, probably not important to anyone, but you know, like groups like Arms and Sleepers and All India Radio and, you know, and others that sort of embody, you know, sort of the mix between organic instruments and sort of what I would consider to be more hip-hop elements. It's not, you know, a lot of these aren't, you know, abrasive beats that you would see like Squarepusher or some of these other like electronic artists doing. It's more, they're more to the point, and they're more about letting the melodies talk and the melodies breathe, and so that's, you know, that's what sort of drew me to a lot of these guys.
All right. It's kind of like the whole bedroom electronica thing. One guy just using a lot of organic instruments and incorporating them with like an electronic element. And then,
yeah, I mean, in my mind, if I were to produce a hip hop album, these are probably the first few acts that I would go to, like reach out and say, you know, I would love for you guys to be a part of creating like a hip hop record for me. And American Dollar, right, who's also in New York, like those, like all of those guys where it's sort of, you know, they have some of the cinematic elements. They can talk to you without saying anything, I think is important. And sort of, I think what drives me to instrumental music, aside from the fact that, as my wife always says, you know, I don't know the words to any songs because I'm just the memory or the melody always gets stuck in my head, but the actual lyrics, I always mispronounce them. I have to look at the lyrics websites to kind of get it, so instrumental music's just a little easier for me to sort of grasp anyhow.
Yeah, anyway, we should probably move on to the next block of songs. So this next track is, now I know exactly how to pronounce this artist's name. It's Shayla. I used to say, I couldn't figure it out. It was Zella, Shella, but I'll go with Shayla, because I'll trust you here.
That may or may not be how he pronounces his name, but I knew a girl that had the exact same spelling, and that's how she spelled it, or that's how she pronounced it. So I've always gone with that just because that's how I saw it, but you know, it may be different. But we'll go with that for the sake of having to have, you know, some decision on how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. So here is Shayla with "You Are in the Stars." Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Armand here with our guest Dave, who curated the podcast for today. Dave, what are we playing that last block right there?
So Armand, just as we, you know, as we kind of go through and thank you for the intro and thanks for having me on. But, you know, one thing, I haven't only just curated the podcast, I've also blabbed on a lot about a lot of nonsense. So let's just make sure that all the listeners understand that I understand that I've done exactly just that. No, but in all seriousness, that the first song, You Are in the Stars by Shayla off of the Tangled Wool album, hands down my favorite record of his. It is start to finish, absolutely beautiful. If you like that song, you will love the entire record, so definitely go get it. After that, we jumped into a song called Coast Off by Helios, who is out of all of the electronic artists that I've sort of gotten into over the last few years, Helios in this particular record is definitely my favorite. The songs are just, you know, again, this, like, I think every track off the album moves me. It's beautiful. It's interesting how I even heard about Helios. The guy that I used to work with, who's a DJ in LA, a guy named Tony Watson. He and I, we listened to, like, you know, he listened to a lot of, I would say, contemporary dance music. And you know, Helios is definitely much slower pace than he would typically play at a club, but we shared a lot of passion for acts like Stars of the Lid and stuff like that, and Mogwai and others. And one day he brought me a copy of this Helios record, and instantly I fell in love, and you know, and have really played it consistently since then. And you know, it's just a really, really great record. The next one is also kind of interesting. I toyed with putting this on here or not. You know, it's hard, you know, and I encourage anybody who's a lover of music to try to narrow down a podcast to 9 songs. Believe me, there are 35 songs that you instantly feel like you forgot. But you know, I kind of felt like I had to go with my gut and play this one by Port Blue. You know, the Port Blue is kind of interesting because I had no idea that this was the same guy who did the Owl City project.
Yeah.
We were corresponding with him quite a bit. You know, I don't even remember how I found the record. I think it was like a free download somewhere and a legal download just for everyone out there. So I downloaded it and I mean, it's really fantastic. If you like Helios, I mean, you will find yourself right at home listening to Port Blue's The Airship. Some of the other stuff, like, you can kind of see, especially now that I know that he's Owl City, you can kind of hear some of the electronic stuff going on there. But I mean, but The Airship by Port Blue is a great record, and this was my favorite song off of it. I think it encompasses a lot of some of the mid-90s hip-hop producers with the piano beat. It's very straightforward. It's very accessible. You know, and the only patience it requires, right, is that you can kind of hear a loop and sort of enjoy it the whole time and kind of get lost in the world. And I think that's what really drew me to this song, and just the fact that it's beautiful, but the fact that it's the Owl City, you know, the guy who also does Owl City, it's awesome, right? I mean, much success and all that sort of thing, but it's like, it's two totally different worlds, and it's exciting to see this project that's, you know, and hopefully he'll continue to make some Port Blue music, because it's you know, it's a good place when he does. So
yeah, I remember when that Owl City track Butterflies came out like a year or two ago, and I heard it on the radio. The guys, the DJs or whatever, were just making fun of that song. And I'm like, who's Owl City? I've never heard of them. Because, I mean, I had tuned in right after they played it. So I'm like, who's this Owl City that they keep making fun of? So I went to work. I Googled it. I went to the MySpace. I heard a track. I'm like, wow, this is pretty bad. Then I scroll down a little and I see the influences or favorite artists or something like that. And I see Stars of the Lid, Helios, I think Max Richter, M83. I'm like, what? Where is this coming from? And then like a year later, I realized that he's the same guy as Port Blue. And it kind of made sense. And at the same time, it's still like, you're the same guy as Owl City?
The thing about Owl City that's kind of interesting, I mean, we're taking a turn here on the, you know, on post-rock, paper, scissors. But, you know, like when that Postal Service record came out, right, everybody wanted a second Postal Service record. Everybody, right? I mean, everybody was waiting for it to come out. And, you know, and Owl City has a lot of like the, at least that the main song. I haven't heard the whole record, but that main song kind of has a lot of Postal Service sort of elements to it, right? I mean, like even vocally it sounds very similar and sort of, you know, the cadence of the vocals. And so I think that, you know, it sort of hit when, you know, Postal Service never came out with another record. Here's a dude who's you know, incredibly talented, writes great songs and, you know, and put it out. And it's like, you know, a massive hit. It's like, you know, more power to him for being able to connect with that many people. You know, and the guy was actually really, really nice. I mean, we had emailed back and forth quite a bit. You know, again, this was all sort of pre Owl City from my understanding of, I didn't even know about it. I was just like, oh, I love this Airship record. And he sent me a copy of, you know, a later EP that he did too. And, you know, but just a nice guy, really loves music. And so, you know, when people like that are successful, it's, you know, I mean, even if it's not my cup of tea, like I can still respect the fact that it's a talented guy that's, you know, putting in a lot of effort to make something, right?
Yeah, I have nothing against the guy or anything like that. Port Blue.
Whatever, Armand, you hated him. Just tell it. Come on, Armand. Let's not lie.
All right. No comment. I plead the fifth. Anyway, so before we jump into this last track, do you have anything to plug, or is there any upcoming Signal Hill news we should keep our ears open for, or anything like that?
Nothing really to plug, but thank you. All we have really going on at this point is writing. We hope to record some more songs really soon. And then after that, let's see, I guess in the fall, early fall, we're going to do an East Coast tour. So that's coming up, you know, but at any time, if you want to listen to any of our music, you can, you know, there's a signalhillmusic.com, is our webpage or facebook.com/signalhillmusic. And there's music somewhere on there too. Although Facebook changes it, so I don't know exactly where it's at, but it's, but you can definitely go to our website and listen to all of our albums are streamable for free and more to come. So, but thanks for having me.
All right. No problem. So we've got one track left. It's, as we mentioned earlier, it's the M83 track, or as I was calling it for many years, M83, without actually realizing it's probably an 83. But anyway, anything you want to mention about this track?
No, I mean, you know, this track actually in this album came out. I got a copy from my friend Mike. I don't even think it was actually domestic yet. I think it was just a French only release. I ordered it on eBay even because I couldn't even get it from the record label that it came out on, Goom, at the time. But I got a copy of it, and I mean it's layered full of melodies. It's walls of sound, and it doesn't lose its beauty ever. Honestly, there's points of it when if you put that sucker on in your headphones and you're walking through the city, you know, listening to it, you almost feel invincible because it's so strong and so I don't know. It's a great, great record. And again, just to kind of tie it back to the band coming together. I mean, it was right after this album had come out, and you know, I was looking to play music with some folks, and you know, met Rishi and Brian. We played together. And 3 days later, after our first night or our first time practicing and writing together, when I bumped into to Tim at the 6 Part 7 M83 show, you know, is where sort of we reconnected, and I told him he needed to come play, and we got together, and you know, the rest is history. So I felt it was fitting to put a song here, and you know, and frankly, Armand, you know, we haven't really had any sort of what I would consider epic tracks so far on a post rock podcast, so I felt it was only fitting to play you know, the track Gone off of that album, Dead Cities, Red Seas, and Lost Ghosts, and you know, to kind of end off and sort of you know, say bye for us, but you know, there'll be another podcast next week, huh?
Yeah, there'll be, no pun intended, more after we're gone.
Thanks, Armand.
No problem. Anyway, so that pretty much wraps up the show. Thanks, Dave, for being a part of the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anytime. I hope everyone enjoyed Dave's playlist today. We'll just wrap the show up. Here's M83 with Gone.